This is The Spotlight, where we profile Namibia's biggest movers and shakers, brought to you by Namdeb, mining for good.
My name's Angie Scholes, and in our spotlight this evening, I'm joined by the former Minister of Agriculture, and the list goes on and on. Welcome, Kaleh Schlettwein.
Hope you are good.
Thank you so much. I think everyone wants to know, who is Kaleh Schlettwein?
Yeah, well, okay. I was born in Otjiwarongo 71 years ago in the Catholic hospital there, which by now is not existing anymore, unfortunately. It was by then a very good hospital where everyone went to in the area. I was brought up on our family farm, Ochitambi, close to Kamanyap, between Uchu and Kamanyap. It was the then typical farm life, where my father was a cattle farmer. He tried with Karakulchu sheep. He did what most of the farmers in those days did. He also tried a little bit of horticulture. He had built dams, and that, of course, was a great joy for us. You know, a dam and a piece of water and the greenery around the dam is always very exciting. I was brought up there. From there, I went to school in Karabib. That's for the first 10 years. There was a small German private school in Karabib. It was called PSK. Private Schule, Privatschule Karabib. After that, I went to the DHPS in Windhoek for the last 2 years. Then I had a year, 3 years. I actually had started the Abitur, but I abandoned it and I went to the farm. My parents were not very happy that I abandoned. My father was a very strict man. He was of the opinion that abandoning and doing things halfway is not good. And if you do that, you will not make it anywhere in life. So he wanted to teach me a lesson, and he employed me as the second worst paid farm laborer on the farm. And I had to work with the other farm workers. His intention was to give me a lesson, but a blessing in disguise was that in those years when apartheid was still very strict and stiff, and when the racism was rife, he, not knowingly probably, gave me an opportunity to question that, because I realized that my fellow farm workers who became my friends are like me. They wanted the same things. They liked the same things. They talked about the same things. They lived a life just like me. And I think that was a great eye-opener for me to have, in my opinion, better judgment about how to treat fellow human beings. Now, from there, we all had to go to military services. I did that for 1 year. Then I went to University of Stellenbosch, where I started a bachelor in science in agriculture, but I also changed midway. I then went to natural science and finished eventually with a master's in entomology, that's in insect ecology. My wife, I had met in my last year at school. She was in Otjiwarongo in the high school, and some of my friends came from Otjiwarongo, and they had organized a party there. I don't know what the occasion was. They took me along, and that's that night that I met my wife there. My wife is one of the very lasting school friendships. It happens sometimes, and I'm very, very proud that it happened to me. We are now 50 years married. We've celebrated our golden anniversary this year, which tells me that I have no reason to look back. My decisions on that school were perfect. We have got 4 lovely daughters, all of them in Windhoek, all of them doing well. So we are really, really fine. My eldest daughter is Sylvia Schlettwein. She's a writer. She's a lecturer, senior lecturer at UNAM. Second daughter is Carola Bayer. She is working at the international school as a teacher. My third daughter is Sabine Hancock. She works at the gymnasium. She is the HOD there and the primary section of the school. And my youngest daughter, Claudia, is in the HPS. She's a sports and English teacher there. All doing well, all in education. I don't know what I did to cause that, but I think that is my wife's influence, not mine. But we are very happy with it. And we are very happy that they are here, because it makes our life as aging people so much more satisfactory if you have your kids and your small kids around you. It is really pleasant.
Yeah.
Now that's more or less in a very summarized form where I came from. But I think what is also important to note that, as I told you, my father's decision to employ me as a farm worker was in fact the very start of my political philosophy or my thinking. And that was strengthened during my school days, especially in Karabib and in the DHPS, where we had German teachers that were more liberal, and of course coming out of the society that just had survived a most horrific racial division, that's the Holocaust. They were very much aware of it. And these teachers showed us kids, pointed to us that we are living in a society that is very, very unjust, racist. We are doing almost the same as they did or their forefathers did during the Second World War. Now, that influence brought me in touch with some of our comrades who were already busy by then with the liberation struggle. Some of them went into exile. Those ones I did not really know. I knew the internal ones like Nico Bessinger, like Daniel Changarero, like Nathaniel Machwalili, like Hendrik Wedboy, many others, but also Anton Lubowski, and my close friend was and still is Hartmut Ruppel. We were a small group, Wolfgang Werner. We were a small group that had decided not to participate in these politics, but rather join the liberation struggle, which we did. Internally. So we were part of the internal group and we were in close contact with the leaders that were internally here, which was rather exciting, I must say. You know, we probably were not aware of all the risks that we are taking at that time. But nevertheless, it was great to all of a sudden have the whole Namibian people, everybody, as your compatriot, as your comrade, and move away from this exclusive, privileged life that we lived. Of course, it was still as privileged persons, but it was still so much more exciting to see and to have the prospect that we would liberate this country or contribute to the liberation. So the contact started in the early 80s when I became a member in 1884 of FAPO. It's really so pleasing to think back that in the party, I had never the feeling that I was discriminated against. I was just a comrade. There were no white or brown or black comrades or Herero comrades or Wambo comrades. That was not there in those days. We were just comrades. And it was very, very pleasing that was carried through in every aspect. Comrade President Sam Nyoma then appointed me as the permanent secretary, the first permanent secretary of the then Ministry of Agriculture, Water, Fisheries and Rural Development. I was responsible for the water and the fisheries departments. He then later formed the new Ministry of Fisheries and Marine Resources. I became the first permanent secretary there, worked with Comrade Helmut Angula as the first minister. My first minister in agriculture was Honorable Hanekom. I then was transferred from fisheries back to agriculture when Honorable von Wietersheim was the minister there by then. From there, again, I was moved to the Ministry of Youth and Sport, which was an perceived demotion from agriculture to youth and sport. But that's a whole story on its own. What I wanted to emphasize is that in as much as I was disappointed at that point in time with that move. It was Nico Bessinger who told me, "Now, Kalle, you don't give up. Don't despair. Just stay there. Do your job. It will be for the better." And in fact, it was. I enjoyed Youth and Sport tremendously. We wrote this, or I drafted together with many others, of course, the Sports Act. We drafted the youth policy. Honorable Pendukeni was the minister. We built stadia in every region. Our soccer team rose from rank 120 or there to rank 69 in the world rankings. From youth and sport, I became the representative of Namibia in the ILO governing body. It is during that time when we ratified both of our core labor conventions that ensured justice for workers. We started off with a very bad set of cards handed to us. We had the strike at TRUMEP. that went almost bad. But there, even because of having understood how we comrades solve problems, I had a very good relationship with the workers. At that time, Ranga Haikali was the Secretary General, and we solved the matter, which almost went very, very bad. It was under the minister when Honorable Moses Garweb was the Minister of Labor, and I was his PS. I spent some time in Labor, I think 5 years or so. From there, I was then shifted to Ministry of Finance as the PS there, where I stayed 8 years, from where I was promoted as the Deputy Minister of Finance, then the Minister of Finance, and ultimately the Minister of Agriculture. I'm telling this long story because I wanted to show how right it was to continue, not to give up, but just to continue and do the best you can. The trust grew. And even internally in the party, I was appointed the secretary of the Politburo and the Central Committee as from 1994 till 2010. So the trust in one another was very strong. And I think that helped us to go through those periods, some of them more difficult and some of them more pleasant, of course. It's a long time, 35 years, it's a very long time. Now, we formed, of course, very important pieces of legislation. I was in Labour involved in the Affirmative Action in Employment Act, which was one of those milestone legislations that we have. But not only legislation, we also formed the Labour Fora, through which we then established minimum wages for certain categories of workers, for instance, for the construction industry, for the agriculture industry, for the domestic workers. We created these fora and agreed as tripartite parties, two minimum wages, which made the situation for the workers and the employers more stable and fair. Great work, I believe. We also amended the Labor Act, which introduced a mechanism which is still to be functioning. It's the dispute resolution mechanisms, two legs, the labor disputes of right and the labor disputes of interest, are now solved through the Labour Commission instead of a judicial process in the courts, which made it easier to have labour peace. I believe that was a great achievement as well. And in finance, of course, we had to manage the macroeconomic stability that our predecessors, that was Governor Mbumba, was our predecessor. I was working with him for 2 days, and then he was moved to Information and Broadcasting at that time, and Comrade Sara Kugungelba became the Minister of Finance. We worked together the whole 8 years I was there. And we kept the economy stable. There were ups and downs, but from a very slow-growing situation, we picked it up to a much faster-growing economy. That brought about some issues of fiscal space at the end of our term. But I think we again managed then as Deputy Minister and as Minister to stabilize the situation, that we never defaulted. We always had fiscal sovereignty. We were never dictated by a financial institution from whom we borrowed what to do. So we never came to a structural reform situation dictated by the World Bank or the IMF, because we never borrowed from them. So we left a stable situation, and I think that in itself is a great, great achievement. Then came the time when I had to decide, what must I do now? I first discussed it with my family. And then I decided that instead of hanging in there as an old man, I rather want to retire voluntarily and do some things that I enjoy do. Not that I didn't enjoy my work, I did. But there are some things that, well, there's a big difference between doing what you want to do and doing what you have to do. So I wanted to have some time where my health is still okay and my wife's health is still okay, where we together can do things that we always wanted to do. And that's what we are busy doing now. We do things that we wanted to do. We are traveling a little bit. We are reading a lot. I'm starting to write a little bit. I always was a keen photographer. I'm doing that. I'm publishing some of my work in posts, get nice reactions, and I'm organizing them that I can do something more meaningful with it, more than just having them. That's what, in a very, very brief summary, my very exciting life was all about. Of course, the job gave me so many opportunities to travel the world, meet other people, formulate policies, participate in debates, all carrying Namibia's voice and Namibia's interest into the world. And I believe we were successful with that. Namibia had a name outside there that we are fair in our approaches, that we are making our points, that we are not pushovers, that we are doing the right thing, whether it's in environmental policies, in labor policies, in financial policies, in trade policies. We were always known for saying our say and holding our point, standing our ground, even if the pressure was high. And I think that is the legacy that Namibia still has outside there. And I'm very, very proud that I was a tiny little bit a part of it.
Honorable Schlettwein, just the last question. What gives you hope about Namibia's future?
Well, of course, when we started as young people, we were probably idealistic and naive. And I'm very glad that I was, because that was, in my opinion, a more purer start than having been influenced by material interests. My life through, I had never an interest in private business, because I thought I'm a civil servant or a public servant, and there is no possibility that you can operate a private business while you are in public office without being influenced by it. I don't think it's possible, and I refrained from it. I think I could do a better job without being taking the risk that I'm unduly influenced by material things or by other matters that are personal. So my start was a naive-based ideology where we thought we would be living in a country as one group of people called Namibians, without racism, without tribalism, without any discrimination against one or the other group. That was the ideal situation that I had hoped we would land ourselves in and we would work towards. And I believe that was a shared vision. You know, we all wanted that. That was the comradeship that we kind of had in the liberation movement. But you know, unfortunately, that is not the reality. The reality is that still Namibia is pretty much on its way to form a unity, or unity in purpose, unity in people, and we have not managed the goal. All the presidents have talked about unity as an important factor, but in most of the cases, unfortunately, the unity was undermined by tribalism, by factionalism, by material interest to a certain extent, irregular operations. So we are not yet there. I'm still hopeful that we will get there. And I'm very proud that Namibia is one of the very, very few stable democracies on the continent. But we have not yet grasped, in my opinion, the full meaning of a good liberal democracy, where there are no kings, where there are no tribal interests that override other people's interests, where there are no discrimination against one or the other group based on whatever criteria, whether it is racial criteria, whether it is sexual preference criteria, whether it is anything, religion, anything. We should not be tempted to discriminate, because we were discriminated. That's why we liberated ourselves out of discriminatory rule. We should not fall back into that. So my hope has partly come true, but there is a long way ahead to fulfill my dream, and that is a non-discriminatory, free, solid democracy.
Thank you so, so much. It was lovely knowing more about you, and I hope you enjoy your retirement.
I'm busy doing it. It's a big adjustment, and I'm to be honest, I'm still adjusting. The more I adjust, the more I enjoy it.
Yes.
You are surely with me if I say an adjustment from a very stressful work to do nothing.
Yeah.
It's probably easier than from doing nothing to a very stressful job. So I'm in a good situation.
No.
I'm okay. Okay. It was exciting. It was a pleasure. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was The Spotlight, where we profile Namibia's biggest movers and shakers, brought to you by NAMDEB, Mining for Good.